Hey, it's the Rob Pod Podcast here, and we're back. I know you've missed us for probably over a year now, but we're back. We got all the latest video game news and everything. We're here in Pat's house.
Whoa.
I haven't seen him yet. Oh. Hey, Pat.
What's going on here?
Dude, what, I thought
you took my TV out of my room.
Dude, I thought I'd just come over and then we'd start the podcast. I brought your TV. Look at the sweet set now.
You took my TV out of my room. I was where I watched
it. Dude, but look at the set now.
What's with the microphones and the cameras and the...
We're gonna start with the podcast again, and now we have a vidcast too.
The podcast.
Now it's a vidcast.
It's
for the blog, rawpod.net.
Oh,
dude, get excited! Oh, we're starting the video game news. Everyone wants it.
I hate you, man.
It's the Rob Pod Podcast, Episode 1. Yes, so it is the Rob Pod Podcast back after about a year.
We're back after a year.
In video.
In video now.
In Technicolor.
Hopefully we'll do it every week in video. So
yes.
Check the blog, rawpod.net.
Rawpod.net, all the news and reviews, impressions of games, new games, old games, it's all there. You know?
You could really want. All the game, conference coverage, everything.
Everything. Speaking of conferences...
We got Leipzig.
Leipzig. We got Games Convention 08. Yeah.
We got that going on right now. There's actually a lot of hot news coming out there. Maybe even more than E3, depending.
Yeah, because E3 was kind of lame this year, so... I mean, it's not hard to beat E3 nowadays, gotta be honest.
We got a lot of news coming out there.
Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the...
The recent Force Unleashed demo.
Yes.
On the PSN and Xbox Live.
Been playing that nonstop, to be honest with you, since it came out on Thursday.
You'll get our impressions of that, and some other members of the blog, they'll post their impressions on the blog.
And we'll talk about it today.
We'll talk about it.
Also, what else do we have on tap? We have...
some more arcade games.
Oh, Galaga Legions.
Galaga Legions.
Came out this week. This is a big month for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, so we got Geometry Wars, came out at the beginning of the month, or the end of last month.
Basically this month.
And
then Bionic Commando came out. Impressions have been, sort of mixed, but
Braid.
Pretty good. Braid came out this month, yes.
Galaga Legions, and next week is Castle Crashers.
Yeah, that is the big one. That's the arcade title to end all arcade titles. I noticed you don't have a laptop this week.
Yeah, I don't have a laptop. We're actually recording on my laptop right now.
So, it is a good quality video camera, but since we can't get the other camera to work...
Then we're just going to have to suffice with this... laptop camera.
Which I think it looks good.
It's okay, yeah.
But we can't do any live streaming this week.
You can, just tell us what you think. We'll try to get the other camera up and working. But just tell us what you think of the video quality, how you feel about the vidcast on the podcast, on the blog.
How are we going to syndicate this one? Podpress?
Yeah, we'll use Blogpress. We'll use Podpress.
Alright, so I guess, what
I've just been playing in general?
Recently.
Recently, I've just been playing the arcade a lot, actually. Also, getting back into COD 4 a bit. Been playing online COD 4 a lot. Haven't won Prestige yet. That's kind of sad.
Yeah,
everyone's won Prestige.
A little bit sad. Especially since you got it at release or whatever.
Yeah, so that's kind of sad. But, I find the online aspect really fun. Like, I even had more longevity out of it than I did with Halo 3.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel it's just more... It's a different game, really. Like, I like it a lot. And
it's sort of like COD.
Also,
too,
it's more easy to jump into, I guess, because you don't have those heavy weights in every match that are just playing all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But, so I'm playing COD 4 a lot. There have been a lot of Rock Band 4 songs out. I mean, I've been dabbling on those, not that much. Gotta keep forgetting to send my guitar back for repair still. Even though Rock Band 2 is coming out, so I might just not.
Yeah.
We should talk about
What's going on in the back here? Oh, sorry. Yeah, we should talk about that.
So we got Rock Band 2, Rock Band playing a lot. And just Xbox Live Arcade games, like what we've been talking about, really. I haven't really touched my Wii in a while, which is sad. Like, super, so excited for Super Smash. I played every now and then, but,
That's funny. I thought you were, one of those guys who touched their Wii as much as possible.
No, I touch it monthly.
Probably. Oh, well, alright,
I'm a monthly Wii toucher.
Well,
what about you?
Same kind of stuff. Arcade titles have been eating up a lot of my time. Xbox Live Arcade titles.
So how goes your quest for 25,000 gamer score?
Beat it.
You got it.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's heavyweights out there, you know. All right, 25,000. Big for me. I don't know about you guys with, like, 160,000 gamer scores and stuff.
But, you want to give it an Xbox Live tag, though?
At the end of the show, maybe. Maybe at the end of the show. I think they've been on the blog before.
Just tune in. Just tune in. That's something to wait for. You can play with us.
Yeah. Or maybe we should wait to see how many people get this episode before.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, if it's more than we expect.
Then we'll...
Not.
Then we'll get it.
Yeah. Out. Well, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, I guess we could just jump right into the fray here.
What do you want to do first, then?
Let's talk about the PSP 3000.
The PSP 3000. The PSP 3000. New version of the PSP announced at Leipzig. It's been rumored for a while, really.
Some of the rumors, you know, a lot of them came true, actually. Built-in mic, I believe, is on the device.
Built-in mic for Skype and...
For Skype and...
GoPhone, I think.
GoPhone, whatever, yeah. And the Skype for PSP is actually looking pretty good.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
I wish there was a good, like, Skype alternative VoIP kind of thing for the iPhone that you could do over Edge or 3G, but, of course, that would go against everything.
Maybe we should talk about some iPhone games, too.
Yeah, like Myst.
Yeah.
Which was just talked about today. But, so, what are some of the new features of the PSP 3000 that differentiate it from the PSP 2001?
The PSP 2001. PSP 2001, also known as the Slim. The PSP 3000, the major, it's basically a refresh, just working on, just keeping making the PSP a better platform. Better LCD screen, same resolution, double the refresh rate, much more, like, resistant to glare. There's some shots online, we'll post some too.
The screen looks nice.
The screen was much better, and the glare has been a big problem with the PSP since launch, and it's just umpteen times better. There's also PlayStation button now, similar to the guide button on the 360 or the PlayStation button on the PlayStation 3. It just brings up the X Cross Media Bar, allows you to do stuff in that while in-game, in-movie, and stuff like that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we talking price point again? What was it, 150 euros?
Yeah, 150 euros.
I forget, was there a North American price?
I think maybe it was at 189 or 199, and then the other one is going down. The PSP 2000 has seeing a price drop.
At the time of release, yeah.
And this is in October.
Yeah, October. I think for the U.S. was what, October 20-something?
Yeah, 23rd maybe, or maybe...
I can look that up, but...
Yeah.
But yes.
Just check the blog for that date and stuff. But what do you think of this? I mean...
Well, here's the thing. I never got the PSP 2000. I played with it. I know some people who got it. And I played with it a little bit when it came out, you know. It was thin, but... I actually found myself missing, like, the feeling of, like, the big PSP in my hands, which is strange because that was one of the complaints I had about it originally. I don't really play the PSP much, I gotta be honest with you, since...
Acid.
Dirge, and, yeah, and I mean, PSP titles never really caught my interest as much as DS titles, so I was always used to, like, the small... But, like, when I started doing may or may not have known people who were doing emulation on the PSP of titles that they own... After I was playing with it, with stuff like that, you know, I've started getting used to it, and feeling the PSP 2000 just, you know, it didn't really fill me.
I like the PSP in the sense that homebrew community behind it and stuff, and I mean, I don't know why Sony's trying to kill it, because I feel that's how I got the most use out of my PSP too.
Yeah, I think the homebrew community is definitely something that helps the PSP sales much more than hurting it.
Yeah. I've also seen the PSP getting a lot more popular lately. I've seen it in a lot more people's hands, even just walking around and stuff.
You know, that's funny, though. I think so, too. But I remember at E3 07, when they announced the Darth Vader paint job PSP 2000, and it was like, it's kind of tacky, you know, I was like, it's kind of gimmicky. But then apparently they marketed it very well, because I thought those commercials, too, were really lame.
Yeah, no,
like, was that a PSP? The guy's, like, in the elevator with you, he's like, get out of here. But, like, apparently, I don't know, it seems to be picking up, and I guess... next evolution is just what, you know, comes naturally.
I mean, basically a refresh. I even doubt the majority of the public will ever hear the difference, actually.
Or even notice that it's a different one on shelves, maybe.
I mean, it's because the really only aesthetic change you'll see is the button.
Yeah, and I guess the microphone, but...
Yeah, the mic, I don't feel it'd be... Yeah.
I saw some comparison shots today, almost identical.
Yeah, they're fairly identical. I mean, the form factor is the same, really. They have the PSP button, stuff like that.
Hmm.
Basically just a revamp. Sony also, at the same time, announced a bunch of new UMD stuff, really dead format, but I mean, just trying to keep that alive.
Yeah, UMDs, I know some people who were proponing UMDs at the beginning. I never looked to me like it was going to catch
UMDs
on.
UMDs never really were ever going to catch on.
Never really looked like the future of media for me, but, you know, some people into the portability thing over all else may still use UMD movies, who knows? Mm-hmm. Might be some of you out there who use UMD movies, but I'd like to meet you. You're rare.
So you want to talk about the PSP competitor now, like the new one, like the iPhone? It's basically a PSP competitor now, really. Or maybe more of a Nintendo DS competitor.
Or even, I think it's kind of like both. I mean, if you think about the iPhone, the first thing you think about obviously is in gaming usually. But it seems like with the App Store and with a lot of gaming companies coming into the App Store kind of marketplace, that they're really trying to change that image and trying to market the iPhone as both, like, look at this. This can music, you know, games, can do anything, really. And I think, you know, like with games like Super Monkey Ball, I think that really helps the image of gaming. I mean, it's if you think of what the PSP is for the handheld market, it's really, one of its key points is like, look how much it's like sleek, like shiny, you know, even though it's kind of clunky, it's like, look, now we're making it slimmer and stuff. And the DS has always been like, I mean, of course with the DS Lite, they're going for aesthetically pleasing, going to please people aesthetically too, but I mean, it's really like the touch, like, oh, look at this, you can get more interactivity. With the iPhone, you have the sleekness and the touch. I mean,
and the iPhone as a gaming platform, I've been pretty impressed with it lately. Super Monkey Ball, I think they reported $100,000 in sales.
Yeah.
First week or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and 300,000 downloads as of now. That was the last time I heard too.
Yeah.
So
it's just, I mean, it's just pretty crazy. Like, it's really legitimizing it. Really, like games like Super Monkey Ball. I've also been playing games like Cube Runner. Cube Runner's pretty good.
Like free download games, you know, have their place too. But I mean, of course, as people start playing those free download games on the iPhone, people can start charging for them because, I mean, people realize the potential. Yeah, and you know, because the iPod, if you think about it, the iPod gaming
never caught on.
Really. That never, ever caught on. But like, even Harmonix released a game.
Yeah.
Where it could take the beats from your game and you could do like a little 3-button Guitar Hero kind of action. But I mean, it was just like maybe 50,000 downloads.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really, like, everyone I see that has an iPhone, they have a game on their iPhone, at least one. So, I mean, it's just, I think it's really legitimizing the market. And I think Sony and Nintendo should really, like, maybe try to attack and maybe be more aggressive towards this.
Yeah, and I think they're probably thinking about that now.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of expected I knew the PS3 3000 was coming, but I kind of expected more of like a redesign, kind of for these reasons, like the new competitor in the marketplace, sort of, you know, still kind of evolving into that. But I mean, I kind of expected like a more, like the transition between the DS and the DS Lite, like honestly, ugly piece of equipment, which was still functional and fun, into like something that really like, people were like, oh, I want this now. And it really kind of evolved into that. I kind of expected the PSP to take, like, that design.
I think also what the iPhone has going for it as a gaming platform is maybe, like, depending on the trip I'm going for, I'd take my DS. But if I was just going out, maybe, if I was maybe going out to dinner, and I found myself waiting for dinner for a while, like, I wouldn't think about bringing my DS, but if I had my iPhone, which I would, because it's my phone, it's my email device.
You always have it on you.
Yeah. So it's more of like, play it all the time, play it everywhere. I think it's more potent of a casual gaming device for the casual market than the DS.
Yeah.
DS is definitely trying to be, which Nintendo is really,
well, I mean,
edging towards that market.
Yeah, and I think perhaps in a large sense, they've captured it. I mean, DS sales, obviously, completely through the roof. Definitely winning. I mean, if there's a console war between all consoles of all time, pretty much, the DS would be in the front of the pack there. And I think with games like Brain Age, I think it's actually kind of a shame for Nintendo that they don't plan on capitalizing more on the Brain Age franchise, because they're done now with Brain Age 2, they said. I mean, I understand, like, there wasn't really that much of a difference between the two games, just more exercises, different stuff. And I understand, like, it wouldn't be, like, a big jump. I mean, from a gaming point of view, it's really not, it wouldn't be a good sequel for it to have a third one, necessarily. But I really feel like they are edging into the, like, they're really chipping away into, like, the core, like, they're trying to get, like, they're marketing it to older people, like Brain Age and stuff. Yeah,
the people that play Brain Age, like, people I'd never expected, like, grandparents and stuff.
Yeah.
They were playing Brain Age, like, and enjoying it. It's just fun game, really.
And I mean that's the kind of stuff that I mean, because obviously Nintendo's aiming for the casual.
I think the iPhone anymore. Should definitely release something like that.
Right. Yeah, that could. Yeah, I mean, I could see that coming. Is there a PSP answer to that?
I don't think. Maybe did Break Brain Academy come out? I don't know. I don't think it has the interactivity, so it's just not as fun.
Yeah, and I mean the PSP, it really kind of retains, like, it stands as, like, oh, we are the hardcore handheld, like, the handheld for the hardcore gamers and the hardcore market, and I guess it really doesn't really stop being that at any point. I don't see any games that come out that are really gimmicky, for the most part. Like, kind of, Brain Age is, not really Brain Age is gimmicky, but I mean, a lot of DS games are like, oh, yeah. Swipe it, like, this isn't really
even,
fun.
Even the mainstream games, like Yoshi's, I forgot what game, but Yoshi's, like, Cloud Adventure with Baby Mario. Like, even those games are fairly gimmicky, in a sense. Like,
just, yeah, because they use the touchscreen in, like, a gimmicky way, much like a lot of the Wii games do. Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, the iPhone, yes, I think moving to that market.
I think the iPhone is becoming a strong competitor in that arena.
Especially with the ability to just download games wherever you are. Like, don't worry about going to the store and picking up a, you know, a cartridge or a disc or whatever, UMD. Just download it from wherever you are.
So you guys want to move on to Force Unleashed demo?
Yes, next story. Or next impression.
Next impression. Thursday saw the release of the Star Wars Force Unleashed on Xbox Live and PSN. The demo. So
yes, and the game's coming out September 16th in North America, 17th in wherever, and I think like 19th in Europe.
So you can look forward to that. Supposedly most expensive game ever.
To make, yes. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know. Mm-hmm. GTA 4 was something ridiculous.
Yeah, 100 plus definitely.
Yeah, I don't have a number on that.
100 million plus.
But games are really getting more expensive. Games are getting B games like Stranglehold, you know, $50 million to make that game. Yeah. Like, I don't know where all the money went, to be honest with you. But yes, Force Unleashed demo. What did you think?
Force Unleashed demo. You want to do some backstory on the game first?
Sure. Yeah.
Force Unleashed, LucasArts game, touted for its amazing technological achievements, uses 3 physics engines. Euphoria, Havoc,
something else.
The last name escapes me. But, basically just touted for its amazing, physics and stuff. Story based on Darth Vader's Secret Apprentice in between the Clone Wars.
In between...
No, Episode 3 and
episode
4.
Episode 3 and 4, yeah.
In between Episode 3 and 4.
There's a Secret Apprentice, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically you play the Secret Apprentice and you just track through his lives, hiding from the Emperor... And basically everyone, really.
Hmm.
It's just no one knows Resistance except Darth Vader.
And, I mean, the storyline looks to be fairly epic in scale. It goes through, you know, the political career of, like, Bail Organa. Like, I guess, like, some of, like, Leia, like, becoming part of the Rebellion or something. I don't know much about it. I kind of...
But it looks like a pretty epic game for Star Wars fans and non-Star Wars fans alike.
Yeah.
Because of the technology.
Especially after... I don't know how many of you saw the Clone Wars movie. That was maybe the worst experience of my entire life. So if you're feeling, like, down, like, oh, George Lucas doesn't care about me anymore, which it may be true, this might pick up your spirits a little bit. I know it did for me.
Yeah. So, the demo, at least. So what are your impressions on the demo, first off?
Okay. First time I played the demo... Oops. First time I played the demo, I was a little underwhelmed, I must say. After all the hype and, like, oh, the physics are ridiculous, like, Euphoria is incredible, this game is the most realistic, like, physics engines, lighting is, like, incredible. I kind of played it, I picked it up, I was like, you know, I sliced through a few droids and all of them fell apart the same exact way, and I was like, where's, like, the intense physics engine? And I guess my entire first playthrough was a little bit like that. I was a little down and out from the beginning, thinking like, oh, this is not living up to the hype. Then I guess as I played it more and more, it really started to grow on me.
That's because it is a short demo, though. Yeah. You can play it multiple times in the span of a day. It
probably takes you about 10 minutes to beat on the medium difficulty, maybe the same on the hard difficulty, depending on how good you are. But although it seems like the physics engine is... The physics in the game are not... spectacular.
Yeah, they're not as touted to be.
But they're
amazing.
They do. If you were just running through this game once, you would be amazed. You would think that it was like real life. That's as far as the physics are concerned.
I mean, you literally can move anything you want.
Yeah, with the
force.
Yeah, force grip and force push, etc. And I must say, the environments are extremely, I guess, Star Wars-y. Like, to every little detail. It's not like some games like Jedi Power Battles where it's like, oh, this is like a generic Star Wars location. It kind of looks like the inside of droid control ship or whatever. This looks Star Wars-y, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it takes place in the locales that are already in Star Wars. I mean, the first level that we played on the demo was completely new to the saga, and it's different, but it looks like it fits in the universe perfectly. That's something that really turned me on to the game. And the gameplay side of things, I mean, also it's you know, everything retains its Star Wars-iness, but to be honest with you, it is little more than a hack and slash.
Yeah, it requires a little more skill than a hack and slash, I'd say, a lot more strategy, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because of the use of the force powers, but it really is, like, you could just run through the game with your lightsaber just going willy-nilly.
Yeah, that's true. And
the puzzle aspects are...
Well, if that was even supposed to be a puzzle,
I don't know. There's just one part in the demo where you have to open a door just by sliding two things, and if that's... I doubt that's a puzzle, per se, but it really...
I think it's just to teach you about a force power. The whole demo is pretty much a tutorial. It's You learn things as you go along, you level up once, you learn a new force power, and it pretty much is just showing you how to play the game, and then at the end there's like a mini boss fight, sort of, with an AT-ST. But I think it would be basically a hack and slash, except that the force powers are implemented so well. Like, you can just pull anything off the wall, toss it into a group of enemies, you can pick enemies up, throw your saber at them, there's a bunch of different combos, and while all these things are kind of, sort of just masking its hack and slashiness, it's doing a good enough job of masking it that it's a game that you want to come back and play a different way every single time. Whereas in a normal hack and slash, you come, and you know, you play it once, and you play it again, you're like, I basically just did the same thing. This time, in this, I'm going to call it like a semi-hack and slash, I guess. A force-driven hack and slash. You can do different things every time. It's always fun.
It is. Well, given that, I feel the same way, really. But I think it has a lot of glitches. I mean...
That's true. It is. The demo is a little buggy.
The demo at least. I think there's also a little few things that haven't worked out. Like, when you force-grip something, throwing it at someone, it never really goes where you want. I mean, it does sometimes, but...
When you throw things, they automatically go towards enemies, usually. But it's not always in the direction that you'd want, or... Yeah. It's a little hard to control stuff like that. I see what you mean.
And because the aiming to pick up something is just where you're facing, so it becomes a little rudimentary to do something very specific.
Right.
Because you really can't turn every degree around.
Yeah. Kind of typical to a hack and slash, sort of. It does also seem, as most hack and slashes are... And I don't know, what genre are they marketing this game as? Seems to have some RPG elements.
Yeah, you can definitely... There's nothing in the demo, per se, but there's definitely some things that say you could upgrade your force powers.
Yeah, there's upgrades and level-ups and, you know, stuff like that. But it is, at least from the demo, I mean... And this isn't a bad thing. It's very linear. It is very, very linear. There's, I think the most exploration you could do was... find like a little secret area.
Yeah, you can find secret areas, you can find secret power-ups, but really I feel it's a story-driven game, is that's why it's linear. Yeah,
I think so too. And I don't have a problem with linear games at all. I think games that are linear are given heat for being linear when sometimes you need a linear game to deliver like a powerful storyline, which is always important to a game. And I don't think there's a multiplayer aspect to the game at all.
No, there's not.
There's supposed to be a dual mode, or maybe that's only on the Wii.
Not sure.
Don't know. But I don't think that you should expect any, if at all, any big online element.
Which is a little disappointing for this day and age.
Mm. I mean, so many good single-player games have come out recently. I mean, over the last year, even. Like, this time last year, Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect,
Bioshock,
games like that came out. And I feel like that kind of redefined, like, look, we can do single-player games well still. You don't need to be Halo 3 to be a good game anymore. But, yeah, so...
So, Force Unleashed demo.
I'd say I'm very impressed.
I feel the more you play it, the more you'll like it.
Same exact, yeah. definitely give it a chance. If after the first time you feel like I did, like, oh, it's, you know, it's a little underwhelming compared to the hype, just keep going with it, and you'll find out it's
at least really try the demo for sure. If you have a 360 or a PS3, no word on the Wii version.
Right.
Wii version will feature lightsaber-like controls for the nunchuck, for the Wii.
It's not the lightsaber game that apparently they're developing. Speaking of bugginess, can we take a little break for Too Human?
Too Human, yeah. So,
that's the buggiest game. I don't want to talk too much about it. I really don't like the game. But I feel like
you deserve to know.
You deserve to know how buggy this game is.
It's a very buggy game.
And how unbelievably PS1-ish it is. It's like, okay, the game started in development like 11 years ago. And it was originally slated for a PS1 release. And it's been delayed, pushed by console. And they're like, okay, we're going to have 360 ready to release. Oh, now we're going to go sue because Unreal 3 Engine sucks. And the end result is like, it's a okay hack and slash sort of action adventure sort of RPG-ish type game that just mixes all these genres up, and it doesn't really do anything.
It tries for too much.
And it doesn't do any one thing right, I don't think.
And it can't deliver, really.
So that being said, I don't have the quote with me, but Dennis Dyack of Silicon Knights, he had a quote in an OXM interview about the game after the demo, the reception of the demo was like, oh, this isn't so great. The reception to the game was, you know, mixed reviews. Some reviewers were like, oh, this is great. And then some reviewers were like, this doesn't work at all. Team.
Yeah.
So Dennis Dyack said basically what he said, and I'm not quoting here.
They don't understand it.
He said, the people who don't like the game just don't understand how innovative and how unique it is, sort of.
That's a classic, like, he's just trying to excuse himself.
Yeah, I don't know, I thought this was worth a mention, I guess, but, I mean, this is one of those examples of, like, you know, when you're down, I mean, it's not like the game's not selling, I think it's selling.
I think it'll reach a million, for sure.
But, especially after all the drama you've been through with the game, suing Epic, because the Unreal 3 engine wasn't good enough? Or it wasn't up to the standards that they claimed it would be? I mean, just to come out and say, like, if somebody has some criticism for you, don't completely take all the critics and bundle them up and then say, oh, they just don't get it. Because, I mean, there's nothing innovative here. I have to be honest with you.
I think it has a good position to be a great game. It just doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah.
I feel maybe it was a little rushed in the end because it was delayed for so long.
Yeah, maybe. Because they kept moving platforms and different things kept happening. But, you know, it's the storyline, it's weird, and it's weird to the point where you're just like, oh, this is kind of out of left field, and the combat is just generic, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
I think you might be better served just saving your money for other great games this fall.
You can fall through the floor in this game. That's a PS1 glitch, but, yeah, I would definitely not recommend this one. That's just our D recommendation of the day, I suppose. But I guess we should move on to more stories. So, do you want to talk about some of the Leipzig gameplay trailers and stuff?
Alright. You wanna... We'll show some of the trailers first, I guess.
Alright.
What do you want? We'll do...
My laptop isn't working correctly.
So
this is the... Okay, if you can see. This is the Wrath of the Lich King trailer here.
This is the cinematic. Opening cinematic.
Yeah, this is the opening cinematic. I posted about this a couple days ago, I guess.
Wrath of the Lich King being the expansion to WoW coming out.
Yeah, the newest WoW expansion following Burning Crusade. I'm pretty impressed with this opening cinematic.
This opening cinematic, definitely pre-rendered. Obviously pre-rendered.
Oh, yeah, completely pre-rendered. Nothing gameplay you'll find in here. But, I mean, I remember when WoW came out, the first thing that impressed me about WoW was, like, the opening cinematic was, like, incredible. I was like, whoa, this is nuts. I wish the game looked like this, but...
This is a crazy opening cinematic.
It's extremely cinematic. Let's talk about the game a little bit. When does the beta start? Has the beta started?
I don't think it started. I think October.
The beta is starting at some point. This is a slow trailer. Anyway, the beta is starting at some point. We have a lot of WoW enthusiasts WoW enthusiasts. And the excitement is running extremely high. As a non-WoW player, I mean...
Level capped to 80 on this, right?
I guess.
I'm not a WoW player either.
Is that exciting? I'd like to hear from WoW playing listener feedback. Is that exciting for you to like the new level cap? Like 10 more levels, let's get into it. Or is the exciting stuff like what's coming after that? Because what I hear from most WoW players is like, oh, after you reach 70, that's when the game starts or whatever.
80 or something.
Well, whatever, 80. But I don't know what's adding a new landmass, I guess. Yeah. Obviously new instances. And
it looks
good, man.
I mean, the opening cinematic is beautiful.
It's literally beautiful. Yeah, it's pretty incredible, the opening cinematic. I know you can't see very well with this, but...
Check the blog for it, really. Yeah, it's definitely worth it, no matter what. Even in HD, please.
This is the most impressive thing I've seen about the game so far. And that's not to say that anything I've heard about the game is not impressive. It's just that these cinematics really blow me off my feet. This should be a feature-length film.
Yeah.
This kind of cinematic.
I think this is also symbolic of how popular WoW has become, really. It's just insane how many people play WoW now.
Check that dragon out, man. That's pretty sweet. It's a pretty big dragon. Like, as you can see, that represents all of the hordes of people playing WoW at the moment. And speaking of WoW, we haven't cast it since Age of Conan's been out. Yeah. I guess it's worth a mention. Age of Conan is the first kind of MMO in a while to chip into that WoW block, but they're not getting anywhere compared to WoW. And I guess if you want to play an MMO, this is the kind of stuff you're stuck with, so enjoy it.
Age of Conan also, much more, I think WoW also some of the appeal is the ability, like, not the hardcore specs that it has.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Towards the simpler side.
So, I mean, that's just a great demo, really. It doesn't show that much about the game. You want to go to the Prince of Persia?
Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So let's talk about Prince of Persia a little bit. All right, Prince of Persia. Well, why don't you talk what the game is?
Prince of Persia, new installment in the Prince of Persia. Not really an installment, really, not a sequel or anything.
It's kind of a reinvention of the franchise a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different looking game. You'll see it. It's a mixture of cel shading and regular graphics, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's cel shading in like a 3D kind of realer, more realistic environment. And, I can't really see anything from that.
It looks really nice, though.
It does, This is gameplay here. One of the things about this version, there's always the acrobatic kind of... I mean, the prince always, you know, even in the old NES games or whatever. Genesis, what was it? I don't remember now.
It's Genesis. There's one
but,
Genesis.
I mean, it's always been about, like, the swinging around, like, kind of parkour-style adventuring, you know? And this definitely retains that, and it adds a lot. It really...
Yeah, it adds a lot.
It had some kind of Altair sort of looking maneuvers, like Altair, like Assassin's Creed looking maneuvers, and also apparently there's the ability to walk on any surface, walls, ceilings, whatever, in order to complete combos. I mean, definitely looks like one of those action adventure games where you're going to be you're going to have to focus to know what's going on.
It's definitely. I think it will shape to be an adequate sequel to The Sands of Time. I'm a big fan of Prince of Persia: Sands of Time.
It's not really a sequel, but...
No, it's not a sequel. I mean, because I don't feel The Warrior Within or... what is the other one? The Two Thrones?
Yeah, Two Thrones.
I don't think they were good, like, really adequate sequels to The Sands of Time, because I really love The Sands of Time. I think this actually might be.
I think... I was never really interested in the newer installments of the Prince of Persia franchise since Sands of Time either. And, I mean, even Sands of Time, I only played through it once. I wasn't a big fan. And at this point, however, seeing these beautiful visuals and stuff in this version, and knowing that's coming to the all consoles, definitely interested in this version.
Admittedly, some of the prince's dialogue in this video is kind of corny.
That's the one thing. The dialogue, that's... Luckily, we're not playing sound.
The voice actor, I think, is pretty good, though. I just think the dialogue is...
The writing is...
Yeah. But, not... The story also looks very similar to Metroid Prime Echoes.
That's actually an interesting comparison. Yeah, that's true. That's an interesting comparison. But I definitely one of those games you want to look out for also.
I don't know if you can see her also. There are two characters.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's a female character. There's a female like side protagonist that's kind of like following you around in the video. And kind of helps you with combat, whatever.
Yeah, she can help you. She helps you jump much farther, actually, also. So I feel like she'll be involved in some sort of puzzles or something like that.
Yeah. So, this is one of those games to look out for from that we got some gameplay.
It should be coming out later this year, right?
Yeah. Maybe this year.
So what else?
And what other gameplay videos do we have from Light the Zig?
Wipeout.
It's not gameplay. Oh, if you want to see, here's the trailer for... Got the trailer for Sonic Chronicles, the BioWare-developed Sonic RPG for the Nintendo DS. I mean, this is just ridiculously over... Oops. I don't know. This is just a little ridiculous, over-the-top, cinematic-style trailer for this kind of game. Like, it's... you might not be able to read the text, but... Or see the gameplay, for that matter. The gameplay is, in this game is... It's real-time, kind of group, control-everybody combat, like RPG combat, kind of like... Where have we seen this
golden,
kind of stuff
before? Something golden. Golden Age, or something like that. I've played this RPG.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. But it is... I mean, it's definitely something to look out for, not only as a Sonic game, which Sonic games have definitely been lacking recently, in the past few years, with the horrible Sonic the Hedgehog title for next-gen systems.
Also, this is BioWare, so...
Yeah, BioWare definitely an upside for any RPG being developed by BioWare. The developers of KOTOR and Mass Effect and Jade Empire. So, definitely one of those to look out for coming out of Leipzig also.
Oh, what about Heavy Rain?
Is it interesting? Oh, Heavy Rain... yeah, there was a Heavy Rain gameplay video. If you've heard of Heavy Rain, it's kind of a horror... movie-esque sort of game.
Beautiful, really.
It's very good graphically. Graphically very nice. Might not be able to get the gameplay video here. It's a PS3 exclusive. Yes, actual gameplay footage. It's a PS3... This is a PS3 exclusive game.
It's definitely one of the best-looking games I've ever seen.
It's kind of like a film noir-style horror... cinematic horror movie-like game. It's really hard to define it in a genre. It definitely looks scary. It
definitely looks scary.
I mean, like, scary. Like, this is one of those games that, like, the original Resident Evil, maybe, get some people to play the original Resident Evil, will freak me out a little bit. This is one of those games that's, like, reinventing, it seems to be reinventing that kind of horror genre in gaming. But it really does, from this gameplay footage, it really does look like you're just kind of watching somebody playing through an interactive movie. More than a game. Like, I'm not... It's kind of hard to tell what's going on. It's very dark.
It's a very dark demo right here.
Yeah.
Even
right we, here. Like, in the same room, we can't really tell what's going on at this point. But this is the comp... It's like... It's kind of like button-pressing combat system.
It seems more like you're playing your way through a story.
It's like an interactive movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what it seems like. Like, the combat systems are like, oh... at least in this gameplay demo, it's kind of like, oh... press this button right now, kind of like Kratos in God of War.
Yeah,
like in those little mini cutscenes. It's kind of like that all the time, it seems.
So, but, I mean, this game could be very interesting.
Yeah, that's another one to look out for if you're a PS3 owner coming out of Leipzig. And other news came out of Leipzig that we were going to talk about?
There's a lot of Street Fighter footage.
Oh yeah, but we don't have any Street Fighter footage to show you today. Look on the blog for that, that'll be coming.
Street Fighter footage, you'll check on the blog. Street Fighter 4, definitely coming out.
Comes to consoles, baby.
Unique art style, everyone's really excited.
Yes, and it's been ripping up the arcades in Japan. I think it's in a couple of arcades in North America now. I mean, it certainly looks nice. I mean, people are divided on the graphical look and feel of Street Fighter 4, but it looks nice in action.
Yeah. It's a beautiful game.
2D, 3D, kind of 2.5D graphics. But, yes. Speaking of arcades, let me talk about some Xbox Live Arcade titles.
Yeah, we've been playing those a lot lately. We should get on that.
So, first one we want to talk about is Geometry Wars 2. Geometry Wars Retro Evolve 2, which came out on the 31st of last month. And it is, to me, one of the best games that's come out on the Xbox Live Arcade in the lifespan
of the 360. Yeah, it's a very interesting game.
If you've played the first Geometry Wars, it started out as kind of like it was playable in Bizarre Creations, the developers behind PGR 3 and 4, developed it, and it started out as like an in-game,
just an in-game
PGR 3 kind of.
Yeah, just something you could play, like an extra.
Yeah, like it was an arcade machine in the garage, and then it was released on the Xbox Live Arcade, and it was very successful. It became one of the staples of the beginning of the Xbox Live Arcade, along with games like Hex HD, which came packaged on the console. etc.
There's a lot of... Geometry Wars is unique. It's a very unique game.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix between... Well, what did you call it?
I think it's like Galaga with Flow, that Flash game.
If you play Flow, the Flash game or the PS3 version, the PSN version, it's kind of like those mixed together. And I think it also mixes in some elements of arcade coin-op classic.
It's actually like Asteroids.
It is a little bit like Asteroids, except more hectic, more colorful. Yeah. Very colorful game. Smash TV. It controls like Smash TV does.
Yeah.
With two joysticks. Like, if you ever played a game called Smash TV in the arcades back in the day, I think it was released on Xbox Live Arcade also.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, we played that. You took the two joysticks. One was for shooting, or one is for, in the 360 version, one is for shooting and one is for moving, and it's the same for Galaga.
It's the same for Geometry Wars.
It's the same for Geometry Wars. There's six different modes that go around. There's a time mode, a mode where you can't shoot, and you can only use these new enemies called gates to destroy people. There's like a story kind of sequence mode where you have to advance through different scenarios. And, I mean, it's very, very well made, very well put together, and very, very well marketed, actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ads everywhere, and I don't know if you've heard of the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade, which is kind of a promotion throughout August. If you play the trials of, you know, Galaga or any of the new games that come out, like the week after they come out this month, you're entered into a contest to win like 10,000 Microsoft points or an Xbox 60.
Mm-hmm.
So that has definitely helped it. But after playing it extensively and topping my high score friends leaderboard in like five different modes.
Yeah, that's a big thing. There's no multiplayer in the game.
No multiplayer. There's local multiplayer.
Yeah.
There's no live multiplayer.
But it's fun. It's fun like to compare scores because it's really a high scoring game. Yeah. So.
And the friends leaderboard is built into the game for every different mode. There's a different friends leaderboard. It stacks your friends up automatically. And, I mean, that's part of the drive. Like, me and my friends are always competing to see who has the highest score, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's definitely the thing that keeps me coming back. So, if you have a lot of friends that are into Xbox Live Arcade titles, specifically Geometry Wars 1, maybe, and they pick up this game, that's definitely adds to the replay value, which is already very high.
This is all those modes, and really, no two times your players are going to be the same.
Yeah. And depending on the mode, yes. And, I mean, I can't give any more of a glowing review for this game. I mean...
It's definitely a recommended game.
Definitely recommended. In fact, I think it's worth... I would have paid
It's 800 points, which is 10 US dollars.
Yeah. I would definitely have paid more than $10 for this game if it came out of retail. So, I mean, it's just one of those games. Another game that just came out this week...
Galaga Legions.
And you picked up Galaga on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Galaga original, and I've been looking to get a Galaga box in my house. But,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome, man.
I want a Galaga or Miss Pac-Man, something like that.
But, that'd be awesome.
Galaga Legions offers a lot more to the table, really. They went away from the long view screen where there's a lot of space between you and the enemies. And they brought everything much more close, and they give you a lot more freedom to move around. You move around the entire screen now, not just bottom, left to right. They give you two things to shoot.
It's like, they're like,
turrets, really.
They're like satellite turrets that you can
like, you place them places, and they just continually fire. And you really, I mean, you might think that makes the game easy, but you really need them. It's a hard, hard game.
Well, it's actually, if you know what the shape of the ship is in Galaga, it's kind of like a castle. Like, there's... If you think of it like a castle, like there's two towers on the side, and then there's a main tower in the middle.
Yeah.
And what the satellites are is it breaks those two things off of the side. So you lose firepower where you're moving, but there's one cannon like at random places.
And they shoot. You place them places, and there's a lot more enemies on screen.
Yeah.
I mean, you could clearly tell that it's made for Japanese people, really.
Seems like that, yeah. I mean, it's really hard.
I mean, the stereotype being that Japanese people can handle games with just an insane amount of enemies on the screen like, all at the same time.
Like Ikaruga?
Yeah, like Ikaruga, if you ever played that. It's on the Xbox Live Arcade, too.
That is not made for American. Yes, Geometry War, I mean, God, I keep getting... Galaga Legions, very hard. Very hard game. I can't get past the second level, I'll admit it.
Galaga Legions, it's a fun game. Really, I don't know if not many people would enjoy it if they're not Galaga fans.
Yeah, it is. It's very different, but at the same time, it still has that Galaga look and feel. Like you can change all the sprites to
The old.
Yeah, the old. I mean, you change all the character models to the old sprites, and that's what I do every time. That's fun, you know. It's hard though. That's the one drawback. Game. I mean, if you like a really good challenge, Galaga mm-hmm. Legion is definitely for you. But if you're one of those guys who buys a game and then it's too hard, you just stop. Just try the trial.
Well, we're talking about this. I think don't go spending your money all on this game, because I think Castle Crashers is a game to definitely wait
for. And that's an expensive one, too.
That's expensive.
1,200 Microsoft points?
1,200 Microsoft points.
That's what? $15?
It's $15. That's which expensive. It's a pretty expensive Xbox Live arcade game.
Especially for a game that's already, mm-hmm. you know.
It's like, what?
Isn't it already, isn't it a remake?
No. I don't know how many it is. It's like Golden Oops. Axe, though. Castle Crash is like Golden Axe.
Alright, maybe I'm thinking I don't know. Castle Crashers is, however, the most highly anticipated yeah. Xbox Live game I can remember.
Castle Crashers is by Behemoth, the studio that did bring you
Oh! Helmet. Yeah, this is why it's so expensive. It's yeah. huge, isn't it? Isn't yeah. it like really expensive for them to make?
Yeah, I mean, the first port of Alien Hominid, which is a popular Flash game in Xbox Live Arcade, it was received pretty well, and Castle Crashers is their next game, their entire team, which is kind of big now, actually, and they've made this game four-player. It's a fun game. I think it's like Golden Axe, but in the Alien Hominid style, so.
Golden Axe is definitely, I think there's a, the Golden Axe is out for XBLA, right?
It might be.
I think it is. I should get that before.
But you should definitely wait for this game.
It's an
expensive game, but it might be worth it if you get a couple friends. Well, we can always play with you.
Right? Hey, yeah, if we give our gamer tags out, then we'll play with you.
It looks a really fun game, so.
Yeah, it's just the price is what's going to throw people off. For an Xbox Live Arcade game, people usually expect, you know, $400 to $800, $5 to $10, or less now, even.
Or less than it.
But, if, you know, it looks great, $1,200 is probably a bargain for it. So that's...
Well, you can check back here. We'll definitely have a review of it up on the website.
Next week, actually.
Next week on the podcast, on the website.
On the website, probably on Wednesday, we'll actually have a review up, Wednesday or Thursday. And so that's it from the Xbox Live Arcade. Now, before we end here, let's talk about GTA.
GTA.
Or Xbox 360 exclusive downloadable content. Now, this, obviously, last year, GTA was supposed to come out in November, or October, actually.
Yeah.
And the promised, long promised, exclusive downloadable content that Microsoft paid $50 million to keep on their console exclusively, the 360, was supposed to come out in March, which is actually before the game actually ended up coming out. So, since then, we have had no indication of when the... like a date or anything of when this is going to come out. But at Leipzig, a Microsoft representative talked to IGN, and they said that there's going to be a... I forget how he phrased it. He basically said that it's coming this fall. So that places it, what, between, I guess...
Gears of War 2, probably.
Yeah.
Gears of War 2, Unleashed, Fable 2.
Mm-hmm. It's going to fall into that area. I don't know how much time people have for this kind of... Because this is supposed to be episodic downloadable content. Each episode is supposed to be hours and hours of gameplay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be add a crazy amount to GTA 4.
But there's no actual official word on what's going to be contained in the DLC. It could be a new area, who knows? Because they are missing a borough from New York, so who knows? But if you are an Xbox 60 owner, that's something else to get excited about this fall, along with Gears of War 2 and everything else that's coming out.
This is really
Force Unleashed.
Xbox 360 cast.
This one's a little bit, a little bit Xbox 360 centric. Let's talk about the PS3 quickly then.
Yeah, we talked about the PSP. PS3.
Keypad,
yeah.
Oh, you might be familiar with the Xbox 360 chat pad. How is this different?
PS3 keypad is coming out.
I'm going to grab the chat pad.
Yeah, if you want. All right. We're going to get the chat pad here, show you a little. We don't have the PS3 one yet. We'll get that, show you it later. PS3 keypad, different from the chat pad, basically no way except it plugs into the top of the PS3 controller instead of the bottom of the 360 controller.
Which is a little less, I would think, easy to use. As you can see, the chat pad here. Yes. The chat pad plugs into the
bottom
microphone port and like data ports on the side here. clips on kind of, you have to be kind of violent to get it on.
It's a, I mean, it, what do you think of it? I think it's quite useful, actually.
I think it's awesome.
I mean, it just allows you speedy input and stuff. I think this is mainly for the home release, which will probably require a lot of text input.
This is really hard to get on sometimes.
Home release, October, I think, now, right?
Yeah, beta. Or no, release, yeah. So, anyway, the chat pad, yeah, it's very easy. As you can see, it looks like it might obstruct your playability, but really, not at all. I can play here, and then I always keep this on during every game. It adds a little bit of weight, that's the one thing, and the microphone port's different. It comes with a microphone, but the thing about, yeah, like you said, the thing about the PS3 pad is that it goes on top.
It's on top.
Try to simulate that here.
I don't know what the exec that was thinking, or the person that passed this. Typing on the top, which maybe, it may be okay.
The shape is different.
It may be slightly okay to type, but I feel it's just less. You had to bring your thumbs up the controller and stuff, and then back down. And maybe it's going to make the controller top heavy, really.
Let's see. I have a DualShock here, and we'll see if... Okay. Actually, the shape of the DualShock kind of makes it...
Let's just get that right there.
Oh, yeah, that's good simulation there. As you can see, that is our artist's rendition of how the PS3 keypad will look.
Well, I think it's also... I don't know, I think the 360 is, like, one of the best controllers I've ever felt. The weight and everything, the wireless.
Yeah, one. Like, definitely... I don't know about the top keypad thing. I mean, it really doesn't fit for most people's hands. I guess my hands are a little large for this controller anyway. But I think maybe the top thing is a mistake.
We'll see.
It does the same thing. The chat pad is useful for... I use it all the time. I use MSN Messenger or Windows Live Messenger on my 360 very often. So I'm always using this. Sending messages, very easy. Putting in little promo codes, whatever, for Xbox Live, Microsoft points.
It's
PSN will do the same kind of things, yeah. I guess. But that's something to look into. And it was just announced... I don't know if there's a release date. It'll be on the blog. I could actually check. I don't know the announcement. But it'll be on the blog if there's a release date.
So.
Check one. But yes, that is pretty much... Do we have anything else?
No, I think that's all of it for this week.
No, we don't see the release
date. No release date. No.
So, yeah.
But it's all of this for this week.
That's it.
You find the podcast on rawpod.net /rawpod. That's the blog.
And we don't know where we're going to market the...
The video yet.
Spam the feed.
You can probably check one of our Twitters for sure. Twitter.com/blackrabbit.
We'll put our Twitters in the show note. Yes, the video will definitely be up on the site, but the audio RSS will be through PodPress, right?
PodPress, probably.
So that'll be on rawpod.net also, and the video, we'll figure something out by the time this goes up.
So.
Until next time.
It's been Rawpod.
And we'll see you next week.
This 18-speed 10,000-plus produced 20 airspeed increasing. I think something's wrong.
The music featured on today's episode provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. The intro, West School Mitch by Audio UK. The outro is Something's Wrong by Dark Eye.